I hate this game.
Weakness? Cake.
Yes, cake is my weakness. Along with speed and strength.
Huh.
Strength is my weakness.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me to Your Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And I will try to control my smolder this time, because we are going to be talking about Jumanji, which was 1981 children's book.
1981 children's book.
And then it has been turned into several movies, including the 1995 movie with Robin Williams, and the more recent movies with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and others.
And
Yes, and so we're going to be talking about those.
And maybe a brief mention of the cartoon television series.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
And or the board game.
And or the board game.
Yes. All right. So.
I prefer history. And, because the board game sounds fun.
Right. James, did you have any previous history with the Jumanji book?
The book, no.
Did you know it was a book?
Did not.
Okay.
I was likewise ignorant and uneducated.
You were ignorant before we started the podcast? Or
yeah.
Or like, when did you discover the book?
When I picked it up from the library to listen to it.
For this podcast.
Discovered that it came from a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of like podcast research 8 to 10 years ago.
Okay. See, I thought you were saying that you had read it to Peter and it drove him crazy that you weren't turning the pages fast enough. That was a different book.
No. Peter was sitting right where James is and I was on the floor reading the book and he had to listen to it go, bing. So please turn the page and press play.
This is adult Peter being annoyed. Yeah. I was picturing when you were telling that story that it was Peter when he was 10 years old and you were reading it to them.
No. Okay.
That's funny.
They loved. We can check on this, but I believe they loved pretty much everything that I read. Mm. Is this true?
You had very good book selection.
Nice.
But yes, we would always tend to read faster than he was speaking. And,
yeah. You
know, hurry up and wait.
Those book narrators, gosh.
Yeah.
Always reading so slow.
There is a bit of truth to that dynamic.
Okay.
Bit of truth.
All right, fun. All right, well, I didn't know that because I knew that you were a fan of the Chris Van Allsburg oeuvre, right?
Polar Express,
anyway.
Right.
I just figured that maybe the books were something.
This makes me wonder, does Colin come with a 2.5 speed setting?
Negative. Unless I have Campylobacter in Scotland.
If I kick the right spot, does it turn it up an octave in speed?
You got to check his statistics by hitting the peck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, apologies if the audio is a little weird for this one, because some idiot coming over to Colin's house forgot to bring the recorder, and so we're using a different recorder, and I'm recording into the ambient mic on it. So
yeah,
who knows?
We have photographic evidence of what you're up against.
Yes, it's very MacGyver.
It looks like the vines that grew out of the house.
Yes.
Welcome to the jungle, baby.
Yeah. Okay. So. I thought there was some previous history with this. There is not.
Nope.
How about you?
Yeah, no. I didn't. Okay. I didn't know that it came from a book until I discovered that the Polar Express came from a book, and looked and like on the back cover or something it said, author of Jumanji.
Oh, nice.
So, So yeah.
I should have checked the history beforehand, but I think this was the first award-winning book that he wrote.
Mm. And it's a Newbery winner, right?
Caldecott.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is the version that we read, if you read it from the library. The
yes, e-book. I did. Yeah. I saw it this morning.
It looks like a screen print or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering what the medium was, if it was digital or if it was charcoal or pencil or... Because it was all black and white. There was no color in it at all.
Yeah.
Right. Which would have been okay if it actually rotated, but they did not rotate. So having the wide pan on the narrow part of the screen was really difficult. And did a lot of zooming.
Yeah.
Zooming and pan and zoom.
I was able to rotate my tablet, but then I still had to zoom in quite a bit to read the text. Well,
yeah, because I was reading it on my phone in the Kindle app.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it doesn't rotate. And I'm like...
Right.
Rah.
Yeah.
Is that a Kindle app thing?
Must
be. I don't know.
Maybe on your phone.
Yeah.
There is a way to lock the orientation on e-reader apps on a phone, and you may have it accidentally locked.
Yeah.
Which is separate from your phone.
Really? Well, that's obnoxious.
So
why not go and get the physical book printed on paper? There's no Zoom problems.
This is true.
Yeah, but I mean, what?
Because the library didn't have it.
It's not 1869 here, Colin.
You should try sculpture.
This is the two I was going to say 2000s, but that's not true either.
It's the 2020s.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Actually, I was stuck over in Beaverton for a while a few weeks back, and I went to the Beaverton Library, City Library, and they had the Chinese version of this book, Chinese translation.
All right. Whoa.
So it looks, all the pictures are exactly the same. Which
is but strangely enough.
But the pages turn backwards?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So the book. The book, if you've seen the movie, you kind of know what the book is about because it's essentially just about a game that starts to invade the real world unless you finish the game, in which case everything resets to zero.
Yes. Right. Yeah. You know, if you go back to Stephen King's rule of thumb, again, 122 pages is a two-hour movie. They had to do an awful lot of things to expand that plot out in order to make it a two-hour movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this a two-hour movie? It didn't feel like exactly 2 hours. Was it 2 hours or was it like an hour and a half or what?
Oh, that's a great question. 104 minutes.
It's a nice
knew it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So, Colin, in this kind of case, right, where mm-hmm. somebody adapts a movie like The Polar Express, right?
Sure.
From quite a short book to film, what do you look for?
Well, since the original content is so small, I'm looking for the highest level of canonicity they can provide. So
while
we have
also adding to it.
Yeah, and so kind of like Ender's Game, right? Ender's Game was originally a novella, and then it became a novel. Mm-hmm. And he built a framework of story around this. And mm-hmm. so that I feel like that's what happened here. They had the very smallest kernel of the story, which is the picture book, mm-hmm. and they added a whole bunch to it, like you know the time travel and Alan coming out and mm-hmm. everything else that they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, the thing, I feel like the smart thing that the movie does, and we'll just kind of move on to start talking about the 1995 movie,
yeah.
right, is that it essentially presents that this is not the first time this game's been played, right?
Which is from the right. book.
The book's...
Is it from the book?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because they stumbled upon it in the park.
The park is apparently the common dumping place for the game. That's where they dump it, and where the two kids that they don't want to hang out with are going out to go and pick it up.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But they don't encounter a character that was, you know, stuck in the game or anything like that. But
no,
you know,
they do. Wait, what?
There's the guide, but...
Well, the hunter... It was a cartographer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, they don't interact with that person, really.
But a previous player had not been sucked into the game. That's a unique thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so like Orson Scott Card said, actually, about expanding Ender's Game into a novel to make it a prequel to Speaker for the Dead, because that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is he said when you do that you don't just start with a story and then pad everything out. You start before it and you end after it and keep the story, you know, kind of in the center.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what happened here. So,
middle out algorithm.
Yes. Reference acknowledged.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of prequel.
Yes.
All right, Alan finds the originally the game gets buried. And then Alan finds a game and he plays it and he gets sucked into the game. Mm-hmm. And then...
Although, did he find the game or did the game find him?
Oh.
Smoldering look.
Cue sound effects.
You just did the sound effects.
Because now that I think about it, was there any luring of the child to the game in the book? Or did he just happen upon it in the park?
You just happened upon it in the park and it seems like a coincidence, but is it?
All right. Well, yeah, but I feel like in the movie, they actually lure him with the drums, right? Because they hear the drums, like, what the heck is that? And they go investigate, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like the game's luring them.
He's doing some psyops.
Versus exactly. Versus them, you know, just happening, because he doesn't happen upon it. It's buried quite deep in a construction zone, right?
Yeah.
So anywho.
Yeah, so the opening little vignette is from 1869, and it's just people burying a box, right? And then that's what then gets unearthed at this construction site, where his outside his father's successful shoe business, and he gets sucked into the game. The girl that's playing it with him gets traumatized by bats.
Makes me wonder how old this game is.
Right. Well, no, I mean, it's magic, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. Good point.
It's clearly magic. And, you know, in terms of like...
So do you think it looked different than in 1869 than it would have in 1969?
I would have loved to have seen it in 1869.
Because that hunter dude wouldn't have been hunting in Africa the way he was doing hunting in 1869. Because he was using, turn of the century... A rifle and weapons and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But
the blunderbuss is from the 1900s?
No, the gun he was using, though, I think, yeah. No, if the... Because when he went to go buy the bullet, he said it was from 1903, but it went out of...
That they stopped making.
Well, they stopped making in 1903.
But, ammunition does get standardized and the guns change around him sometimes.
Yeah.
He was an NPC, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but the NPC would have... I feel like the NPC would have been different back in that time, in the 1860s.
I don't know. I feel would like he he's the, right? the stereotypical, like...
British expedition big game hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know what it was, what era... The Robin Williams character went back to when he went to the jungle, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. In fact, we don't spend any time with him inside the game.
In the jungle.
At
yeah.
all.
Yeah. No, we don't.
Which I think is an interesting juxtaposition between that and the newer movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of sad, too, because... So let's talk about the movie, right? Robin Williams is the big name.
Right.
Along with...
Bunny Hunt. David Alan Greer.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst, yeah. yeah. Very young Kirsten Dunst, just, you know,
older vampire.
A year after the vampire movie.
Yeah, newly resurrected.
Yeah.
Was it really just a year? Golly, she looks way older than she did in Interview with the Vampire, though. But, you know, children grow fast.
Yeah, yeah. At that age, things
yeah.
transpire.
It's just interesting, that's all, yeah.
And Bebe Neuwirth.
As Aunt Nora.
From Cheers and Frasier. And she...
Yeah,
Star Trek: The Next Generation, where she seduced Commander Riker. So yeah, there's the 1869 opener. Then it's 100 years later into 1969 when Alan starts playing it, and he disappears. And there's this sad story in the town about this kid who disappeared. Was he murdered? Mm-hmm. His parents, or his dad lost his company because he poured all his money into trying to find his son.
Yes.
Because as far as he knew, his son had run away because they had an argument. Right, about going to Oates Military School in Alaska.
Well, I'd heard that he killed him and hidden him in the walls.
Right, that was one of the
movies. In 100 pieces. Yes.
I mean, that's very true to life, right? Where like, if a kid disappeared, there would be 100 stories about
it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And in a house that size.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some interesting changes from the story.
Mm-hmm.
Julie and Peter don't have parents. They're orphans. They've been adopted by their aunt.
Right.
And their aunt has bought the parish house because she wants to renovate it for something that is never described, which really isn't needed. And they start playing this game, and out pops Alan Parrish.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? It lays the seed for this when it says, like, until you roll a 5 or 8, he's stuck in the jungle.
Yes.
And then, I can't remember what her name was, the Bonnie Hunt character.
Sarah,
thank you, Tim. She gets chased by the bats and goes away, doesn't finish the game, so now he's stuck in there for decades. And so then when the kids are playing, Peter rolls the dice and rolls a 5.
Yep.
Right.
And so that's what gets him out. And it's very sad, like he pops out and he, have you ever seen The Fisher King?
Yeah.
Where, he's homeless. Like, it's a very similar costume.
yeah.
And he runs around, looking for his parents, right? It's quite sad, actually.
Yeah.
And then they have to convince him to finish the game with them right now because he's back. So now he has to play. And now they have to go get Sarah because there's another piece.
Yep.
And things have gone poorly for Sarah as well because nobody believed her that her friend got sucked into a board game.
Well, and she was pretty traumatized by what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that would make sense.
The special effects have been both praised and panned.
Yes.
It's a combination of CGI, which wasn't that great, and it's a combination of real effects, some of which are pretty great, some of which aren't. But yeah.
I thought the spiders were fun. They definitely looked practical, right?
Yes.
Right. And I think that was the right way to go. It made them less threatening, but it's a movie intended, it's probably PG, right? Intended for kids.
Yeah. Right. I want kids to watch and not be totally traumatized.
I was surprised. I thought the lion was going to look really terrible, and the lion looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The monkeys looked awful, but...
They were pure CGI, and that was...
Yeah. I would say I thought it was all good except the monkeys. Yeah, the monkeys were pretty awful.
Yeah. Yeah, the stampede was pretty good.
Yeah,
the vines were good.
Stampede was great.
Yeah, it's got that mid-90s CG being a little too shiny, because even like the vines were just like, it's a little too shiny for me.
Yeah.
But like, I compare it to a movie like Flubber, where all the effects were really bad. And here, I thought that it was charming, even though the effects were bad in places. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Van Pelt. I think, is that his name, Van Pelt?
Yes.
Van Pelt, the hunter.
Like, he steals the
fantastic.
Show. And I don't know, maybe it's because we're Americans and he's the guy wielding a gun. Does that say something about us? He is humorous, right? Well, he goes into the gun shop.
Right. Yeah.
And they hook him up with this ridiculous, silenced, 100
round drum. I don't even know what the thing is.
Yeah. With a sniper scope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And I think it was a cool point, kind of like traditionally in the play Peter Pan, the part of Wendy's father and Captain Hook is played by the same person.
Right.
And so in this, the person who plays Alan's dad and Van Pelt are the same person.
Yeah.
Because then at the end, there's some plot lines wrapped up. You know, my dad said I should always stand up and face things like a man. Mm-hmm. Ah, finally, you're acting.
Right. Yeah. It's like when Van Pelt gives him the approval that he wanted from his father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they do. I'm trying to think if there are things from the book that don't make it in. Right. There's not the fog. Instead of there's a monsoon. Right.
Right. And there's giant mosquitoes that don't show up.
Right. Well, no, those are additional things, right? So
those
so
are additions.
Where in the book you have the lion, the monkeys,
volcano. Well, you got the fog.
Oh yeah, no volcano.
Well, no, you had the monsoon, and then the volcano came, which created the fog.
That's right. That's right.
And then the volcano erupted, and it came out of the fireplace, which is super cool.
Yes. Von Ellsberg, I don't know where that imagination, the talent to draw and imagine all that, just incredible.
Yeah.
And then they had the stampede, came running through the walls, the rhinos in particular.
Yeah. Right. And they introduced the David Alan Green, Greer, character is the, you know, he's a cop, but like he knew Alan when he was younger and was trying to, you know, design shoes or something to deodorize shoes, maybe.
No, he invented the world's first sneaker.
I know that was a Holes reference.
Oh.
No, sploosh.
Sploosh.
And so he's kind of the Keystone Cop going around being inept, and his car just gets comically trashed throughout the whole thing. I remember I watched this one, the movie, I saw it with Erin, my sister, and her kids, and when they were young. And her favorite movie, it just made her crack up, was when the car gets eaten by the tentacle thing. And then the guy's just like, fine, take it. And then just goes storming off.
Well, after everything that's happened to it, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of the, so, you know, canonically, there's a reset when the game finishes, right?
And it is a total time-busting reset.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what, like, in terms of is this science fiction or fantasy, it's definitely fantasy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it has the time travel piece that sometimes fantasy steals from science fiction.
Good. Yeah. Sure.
No, it's just sufficiently advanced technology.
There it's all.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So what about it?
I was just going to ask what you think of the it's not a status quo reset, right? It's like a Back to the Future reset where he comes back to the future and it's better, or back to the present and it's actually better than his present was.
Well, in the book, when they finish the game, everything does reset back to the way it was. And that would mean Alan and Sarah would be restored back to their normal selves back in 1969.
Yeah.
With the full knowledge of what's going to happen to Peter and
Judy.
Judy's, thank you, parents. Mm-hmm. And so they intervene and cause them not to go on the trip, which is going to, you know, where they die.
In theory, shouldn't they be like in an alternate timeline at that point? Because it also when the game resets, shouldn't Judy and Peter reset to when they started playing the game?
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of what I was expecting.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
That the kids were going to show up with BB New Earth. And everybody would remember each other. But instead, it removes the knowledge of any of this from the kids.
Well, that's why they got put in alternate timeline, multiverse.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the same kids.
It's not the same kids.
Yeah.
Well, and so that does make you wonder, who is the main character? Is it Peter and Judy? Or is it Alan? Yeah, so the game could be the main character.
The game. The game's the protagonist.
And you know, one of my nitpicks about the next movie in the series, it really is a series, as little as I want to admit it, this idea of the game evolving, I was, you know, then wondering, you know, what happened to the game from 1869 to 1969 and then from 1969 to 1995? Well, between 1969 and 1995, the game was still being played.
Right.
And so I think that locked it in place, in essence.
Mm.
Although the... Well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Yeah. I don't think it's consistent with that logic.
No, not necessarily. And you know, if you're doing a soft reboot kind of thing, some of that makes sense. So we'll talk about it.
Yeah. I have a particular axe to grind about that particular change.
Ooh, let's get to this.
Yeah. Yes. So let's wrap up the movie. I like the original movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were a couple of spots where I was like, it's a little slow, but for the most part, I liked it.
Yeah.
It was charming.
It was financially successful. on a budget of, let me check there, $65 million. It made $262 million. Dang. But it did not review particularly well. 51% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm.
So people thought it was light. It was a little slow. Special effects were not great.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And they wanted to make a sequel. Robin Williams was in so much demand that they couldn't get him.
Dang.
Good for him. Would that have stopped Flubber from happening, or was Flubber earlier?
I don't remember the timeline. I don't remember the sequence.
Yeah, now we got to know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something to be said that, you know, we've shown movies to our kids that we grew up with that we really love and they can't stand. Mm-hmm. Tim, at least, likes Jumanji.
Yeah, yeah. Flubber was 1997. So if they had gotten him to make a Jumanji sequel, we might never have gotten Flubber, and the world would have been a better place. Yeah. Right. So should we move on to Welcome to the Jungle? Because, of course, if you look up the Jumanji series on Wikipedia, right, the next movie in the series is Zathura.
It is. Yeah. It's claimed to be in the Jumanji universe, but it's never mentioned and there's no callback in the movie at all. Mm-hmm. I would say that chronologically, we should deal with the next thing that was released, which is the 1995 Jumanji board game, which comes with a threefold game board and red decoder text and eight-sided dice so that you can try and roll.
Eight-sided dice?
Four eight-sided dice.
Okay. Mm. God,
and it has a rhino that you get to place in front of people to stop them. And... there is a rule that if you lose to the game, because it's kind of cooperative, so I don't remember the timeline of Pandemic or the other games, but it may be one of the earlier cooperative games. You're actually playing against the game. If the game wins, you reset and everything starts at the beginning again. And so when
zombie victory,
right? Yeah. Our great library system, Washington County Collective Library System, had one. Mm-hmm. We picked it up on our way to go visit and watch RUR.
Right.
So due to surgeries and out-of-state travel, we didn't get to play it all together, but I did play it with the family. Mm-hmm. So it's a roll and move. There's quite a bit of luck. Tim took a 13-spot penalty with the 5 or 8. So if you land on 5 or 8, everyone takes turn rolling die. And if you do not get a 5 or an 8, the person who went on the space goes back until somebody does. And he went almost all the way to the beginning. It was awful.
Nice.
So you got stuck in the jungle for 26 years.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of dice rolling. Lots and lots of dice rolling. Not a lot of decisions to make.
Aren't there more than one Jumanji board game?
There are. Okay. This is the earliest one I can find reference to, and we happen to be lucky enough that we can get a copy of it.
Mm. All right. Game of chance.
What came next chronologically?
Chronologically, the next thing that came was the Jumanji cartoon series, which ran for 3 years. Is really an adaptation of the movie, not of the original book.
Okay.
And it kind of straddles traditional cartoon making, where you have the episode of the week versus things that carry on from week to week. So they talk about what happened last time, and they're trying to get Alan out because he's stranded inside the game. Mm. So every episode is one turn. So you get a turn, you get a clue, then they're sucked into the game. They have to solve the clue in order to come back out. And every time they go in there, they try to bring Alan with them, and it always fails.
Okay.
And that's the MacGuffin that keeps it kind of rolling, so to say.
Interesting. Did you like it?
Keep it rolling. Ha.
It was interesting. I liked it. It wasn't horrible.
So, you know, the original movie, it did have Alan get sucked into the jungle, right? So kind of sucked into the game as well. But most of the distinctives of the first movie is the game coming into the real world.
Yes.
Because it talks about all the mayhem that's happening with the monkeys running around and like starting looting.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the people just go right along with it and start looting.
Oh, yeah,
stuff,
totally.
Because that's the way things work. And you know, the wild animals running through town.
It reminds destroying me of, the town.
What was it in The Naked Gun 2.5? He accidentally sets a bunch of animals free, and somebody comes up to him, and it's Washington, D.C., and says, "Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?" And he says, "Isn't that the fault of the voters?"
Leslie Nielsen. Love it.
So move on to 2017?
Sure. Thank you for the diversions.
So 2017 movie, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, right? It's obviously sort of trying to start a franchise. And so to me, the interesting thing is when you have like a soft reboot or that kind of thing, how much do you want to reference the old one, right? Because the more you reference it, the more it's a sequel. The less you reference it, the more it's a reboot.
Right.
And so that's where soft reboot kind of straddles that line between sequel and reboot. And I don't mind it. I like the references back that people who have seen the previous movie will be like, oh, that's who that, you know, that guy's living in his shack.
Yes.
and so that's kind of a fun idea. But this movie pretty much dispenses with the real world component other than the absence of the people who get sucked.
Right. Right. So this makes a major change to the Jumanji mythology. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. video game. And you get to watch the game evolve from a board game to a video game.
Right.
And that's one. I think that's my major axe that I don't like, because board games are no less popular now than they were back then. If anything, they're more popular than they used to be.
I mean, yeah, tabletop gaming has gotten bigger.
It's experiencing
a comeback. But it's not that unlikely that a kid of that age would go, board games? Who wants to play board games, you know, when I can play video games, right? And so I like the fact that it definitely gives some will to the game, right? The game wants to be played, right? The ring wants to be found.
Yes.
Where it's sitting there and he says, who wants to play with the board game? Because his dad comes and gives it to him, right? And then the next day, it has morphed into a game cartridge.
Yes.
Which he puts into his machine and boom, off we go. And that's the kind of consistent with the first movie, where it has the past component to it with the player disappearing into mm-hmm. the game. Mm-hmm. And then it morphs again into a more advanced video game with controllers.
Right.
Or into a game console. Really, game right? console. Because before it was just a cartridge.
Right.
And now it morphs into a game console, and that's how everybody gets sucked into it. And I like, I'll say it. I really enjoy the movie.
It's a funny movie.
Yeah, I like the component of choose your character, and everybody kind of like, okay, I'll choose this character. You know,
and they only put out the names. There's no pictures.
Right, right. Yeah. Ruby Roundhouse, or
like they don't even know who these people
Shelley,
are.
Shelley, whatever. Yeah. Right.
You know, Smolder,
curvy scientist. Right. Yes. and so it mixes a little bit of Freaky Friday in with things, right? Because mm-hmm. there's body swap stuff that happens.
Yeah.
But so, do you want to go back on your axe to grind?
No, I think it very easily could have remained a board game.
Hmm. Okay,
that's my axe.
See, I thought you were gonna be. I thought you were gonna talk about the other part where they get sucked in the game instead of the game coming back to real life.
Well,
because right? that kind of is opposite from what we've experienced with the first movie. Right?
No, Alan gets sucked into the game.
He does.
Yeah, but not all the players do. That's the thing.
And,
right?
So, in
the 2017 movie, to even play Jumanji. They get sucked in to play Jumanji. Yeah. They don't play Jumanji in the real world.
Right.
So this is going to be weird, me defending a non-canonical thing. Mm-hmm. But someone is trapped in the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it could be the only way to get them out is for them to go in.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I haven't seen the third movie yet, and I'm guessing they all go back into the game.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, James, because on the other hand, the cartoon kind of switched over to getting sucked into the game.
Right.
Every episode.
So that's the way it was already moving. And so I don't
right.
think that the movie should be dinged for that in particular.
I'm not dinging it at all. I'm just...
Yeah. I mean, once you're in video game, right, it's things are played differently than a board game, right? And so you don't have the idea of turns at all, right?
It's right.
completely absent from this game.
Yeah, it's way more open world, as we would call a video game.
Now, there are things where it's like this character tries to interact with an NPC and nothing happens, right? Or like you need the skill.
It's gone
of this
from
character.
Board game to MMO.
Yeah,
MMORPG.
In a lot of ways. And so it's fun for like, you know, somebody who, played like Knights of the Old Republic and or the old Sierra games, the old King's Quest games and those kind of things where you're going around and trying to interact and what do I have to type here?
Right.
You know, or Leisure Suit Larry. Did you ever play that one?
Yeah. I had the game on Steam.
That thing was messed up.
You never played Leather Goddesses of Phobos either?
No, I did not. That sounds like I missed out.
It was an old text game.
Oh, nice. I do like... So at the once we've met our core group of kids in the real world, right, which mm-hmm. don't really have much to do. They're in there to introduce the characters and get into the game.
Right.
And then we switch to this whole other group of characters. And that's kind of an interesting dynamic. But I did like the mom is like, please remember the world is a terrifying place. Be careful of everything. And I love you more than life itself.
all true things that moms do say.
Yep. Yeah. The character introductions and it's it's about a 2-hour movie, 2 hours and 11 minutes, something like that.
Yeah,
it's pretty economical in getting to the meat of the movie, right? It introduces the characters, gives you like one salient thing about them. This kid's kind of a loner. He has a sort of friendship with Fridge, right? Where he's doing his homework for him. There's the awkward girl who's really smart, but you know, is awkward,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then there's the hot girl who's kind of vapid and dumb. And it gives them all a nice arc to grow on in the movie as these other characters.
Yeah.
And so then for me, the part that works the best about the movie is the way the characters, the other actors play the characters, because they still have to, you know, it's Jack Black playing the hot girl.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's some squealy hot girl stuff that happens, but I've always wondered how stories like this get told. Like, do they let the kids act it out and then the adults try to act like those kids? Because there was not a lot of kid in that movie. I mean, there were some highlights sprinkled through there, so you kind of got the feel for it, but I felt like they were all acting too old.
Like, what kind of direction did Jack Black get?
Yeah.
Act like a girl. Go.
Can you scream higher there, please? Right. Can you twist your ankle and then pirouette and make him face? And like, oh, my camera, my phone.
My favorite part is when she gets to pee standing up.
Yeah.
And she says, like, the fact that I'm Instagramming this right now is insane.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
But that was scripted. You know, that's not the acting that happens.
Right. Oh, the gym teacher is played by Missy Pyle, who is my celebrity birthday person. She has exactly my birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, that's fun.
She played Jane Doe in Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really, you can make an argument that this movie is adapted from Tron.
Yeah.
It's the grid, right?
Totally.
They get Tron'd into it, right? I was actually kind of hoping that somebody would make a Tron reference, but it's...
Didn't happen.
The kids are too young.
Yeah.
I like the nod they made to the game board in the design of the roads around the final mountain that they're supposed to go to.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, there's a Van Pelt character that was right up there.
Who's the Van Pelt character?
The guy that leads the motorcycle gang.
Oh, is he called Van Pelt?
I think he is.
Oh, is he?
Okay. I could be wrong.
I thought you were talking about Bobby Cannavale playing the scenery-chewing bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although that was fun, too.
Yeah. What is it about, you know, Dwayne the Rock Johnson stealing rocks and causing worlds to get destroyed, like Moana and Jumanji? And...
I have not seen Moana. So.
What?
I stopped watching Pixar movies.
Duh. Yeah. His heart's made of stone.
Yep, it is. Yeah. I have a heart of stone. But, you know, I do like Dwayne the Rock Johnson in this movie. It's because he's playing a character that is not as confident, you know? And I love the fact that it sets up when he's playing his Mortal Kombat game or whatever, and he's narrating the moves he's going to do. And then later in the movie, when he realizes, oh, right,
he's actually doing it.
Yeah. I should warn you, I think I punch really hard.
And he does.
And then he starts actually saying, you know, wall throw.
That was hilarious.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. And I'm cool with dance fighting. I think dance fighting is right up there.
Yes. Oh, Karen Gillan is fantastic. In
that was brilliant.
Very funny. and of course, the most awkward kiss ever recorded anyway. Because
totally.
You want me to kiss her, but I'm not supposed to like it.
Yeah. They're both in the wrong body. And
they're like,
yeah.
That was so funny, yeah.
Well, and they'd never had any experience kissing because they were kids.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
James, did you notice that the movie had a That's What She Said in it?
Yes. Of course.
Where was that at?
They were talking about, they finally saw like the place where they needed to return the stone.
Right.
And it's, I don't know how we didn't notice that. It's you know, it's gigantic or something. And then like, Kevin Hart, it was drunk. That's what she said.
So. Kevin Hart was pretty fantastic too.
Yeah. Well, I'm missing the top 2 feet of my body. I like it when they show their capabilities and the rocks.
Yeah.
There's like no weaknesses.
No weaknesses.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Hart's like, how is weakness? And no, how is strength my weakness?
And cake.
that is paid off pretty nicely. No, I'm fine. But yeah, like I said, like
weakness,
like,
poison.
Right. Like, I find the whole interaction of everybody together quite charming. That you know, because they all have some way to grow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they really support each other.
It's their hero's journey.
Yeah, classic kind of thing.
Yeah, and instead of being like a single hero, kind of like Ellen Parrish, they all need to work together. Yeah. And that's the buddy movie part of this, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't have any, they weren't friends going in, but they're going to be friends coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can't finish the game alone. They had to go get the guy, the pilot, right? Do the thing.
Right. That's the other thing, right? There's the character who had been sucked in right. the years before. 1996, right?
Probably.
That's what he said.
Yeah, 96.
He thought it was 1996. Yeah. And I love the way they picked up on on where he was from, right? Because he started saying like something was fly or something.
Yeah. Like, using all the 90s, 90s lingo.
Cindy Crawford.
Like yeah.
Oh, but still fly.
Yeah. I want to know how the game got from France back to America for him to find. That's a story I want to hear.
Yep.
It evolved. Well,
what happened is it ended up in the hands of Hydra, and then Captain America hijacked the plane.
I see.
Yes. Yeah.
That was actually in the 40s.
Whatever.
Okay.
And it was directed by Joe Johnson, who directed Jumanji. Same director for Jumanji, the original Jumanji movie, and Captain America, the First Avenger.
Joe Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I approve. And Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you notice the Star Trek copyright violation?
Oh, do tell.
People being taken over by insects crawling into their ears?
Was he taken over or was he taken out?
Mm.
I mean, because Bobby Cannavale, whatever his name was, it's not important.
It's Van Pelt.
Is it Van Pelt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. he's controlling the insects, right? And so they're part of him.
Yeah, he's controlling all of Jumanji, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Right. All and the animals and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of like the leveling up they kind of do, which is more like a video game than a board game. There's, you know, go to this level. We're going to take you there whether you want to go or not.
Yeah. And the lives, right? That was kind of a cool,
yeah.
cool thing. And the fact that, you know, that becomes an important plot point, right? Because that's how they get the stone to where
right.
he used to
they
go.
Come back. I like how they come back. That's fun.
With like yeah. the land on Kevin Hart.
Yes.
or like, let's see, I realize he's got a couple lives left. Sorry, buddy. Push him down to the rhinos.
Well, if he hadn't been drunk, he wouldn't have lost the stone in the first place.
Right.
Yep. Although, you know, Smolder, that's kind of what he does. He pushes people out of his way.
I love this Smolder.
Yeah. Apparently, Smolder was an afterthought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What if his name was Smolder?
Wait, do you do that on purpose?
Exactly. Just to
yeah. Yeah. So Nick Jonas is playing the kid who's been in there for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's down to his last life, right? He does not know if you die in the Matrix, if you die in the real world, right? And so he's just been hiding out and not realizing, you know, that his father's probably gone crazy, which in the present he has.
Right.
Right.
You get a neater bow. Things are tied up in this one where he goes back to his normal time, but everybody remembers everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any event that would have changed things as significantly.
Right. Right. There weren't parents to save.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah, great to see Colin Hanks in there.
Yeah.
It ends up being a Christmas movie again.
Yep.
It was Christmas in the end in this one?
Yeah. Just like Jumanji.
They had a Christmas tree tied up onto the top of the van.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
So there's lots of nods back to the original. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the kind of person that likes that thing, that level of fan service, you're going to be very happy with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's funny. The action is good. The special effects and the CGI are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Top notch. Yeah. It's a fun movie. I had fun watching it.
Yeah. And it was quite financially successful. It was almost $1 billion in revenue on only about $90 million for budget.
Yeah. Like when the movie came out, I had no interest in seeing it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Right? I was just like, I saw the original and it was fine. You know, I don't need to see this. And then I saw what reception it was getting and thought, all right, you know, this will be something that I check out. And I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe that's one of my biases. I liked the movie, and so I'm more tolerant of the non-canonicity than I would be in something like Jumper.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, still a time travel story. Same with the first movie.
Yep.
Reset back to your time. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Reset everything back.
But they don't forget who everybody is this time.
Yeah, and that's what I like that they have the moment of actually meeting.
Yeah.
And they really did not want you to not pick up on the fact that this was whatever the pilot's name was, because. You know, he's like wearing a Megadeth shirt or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that was
good choice in music.
Metal. Yeah. All right. We should wrap up.
Yes, we should. So first of all, we should rank them. And if you guys don't want to rank the things that you didn't do, we should probably just rank the three things.
Let's just rank the three things. Yeah. You can tell us where they fit in your rankings.
Okay.
So why don't you go first?
The 1995 movie, the 2017 movie, and then the book.
Okay.
And I would slot the cartoons... the cartoon of the game below the book.
Okay. How about you, James?
Fair enough. I'm going to go in reverse chronological order. 2017, 95 book.
Yeah, agreed. I just love the movie. I didn't remember how much I enjoyed it. I remembered that I had enjoyed it, and then I watched it today, and I was just charmed by it. So
the 2017 movie?
Yeah.
It's super fun.
But not enough for me. I mean, when the third one came out, or the sequel to the 2017 one, when it came out, it was not as well received, and I thought, I think the charm might wear off, and so I'm just going to not watch it.
You know, I think part of the magic of Jumanji is the fact that there are not direct player-to-player sequels, character sequels. And so maybe it was a good thing that the Jumanji second movie was never made, because who knows how it would have done.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you know what's supposed to happen because it's Jumanji, but getting a new group of people with new challenges and new things. That's why I think the stories to be told are the 1869 story. What happened to those kids, right?
Yeah. It was a crossover with time.
That would actually be pretty fun. It's like some sort of period piece like that, playing that game with back in the 1800s. Yeah. That would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it with modern movie-making effects.
Yeah.
And then the other story, I want to know how it got from France back to the States.
Everything ends in France, like the happening.
It was a wormhole.
Yep. And so what are we doing next?
Next is going to be The Hunt for Red November, I think we have decided.
The Hunt for Red. I thought it was going to be The Hunt for Red December, because it's a Christmas movie.
Right. I guess it is, yes. Until next time, may the rose rise... What?
May the rose rise up
to meet you. May the rose ride up to meet you.
Yeah. How many vines are following you these days? Just watch out for the purple ones.
All right, let's try that again. All right, until next time, may the road rise up to meet you, and may the book always fall open to where you left off. Goodbye, everybody.
Buffoonery.
We don't need to talk about the book all that much, right? We'll do a little history with the thing. And
if you talk about it too much, you'll be talking about longer than the book is.
No. It's 20 minutes of audiobook.
I did not listen.
It's about a 7.5-minute read.
Yeah, no.
This is why I do two times speed on audiobooks. Yes. Audiobook narrators are too slow. They don't read like normal people.
Well, it's a read-along for kids, so they're pacing it a little slowly.
Fair. When you hear the dong, turn the page.
Oh gosh. It drove Peter crazy. He thought I was ignoring it, and I was looking at the art. Anyway.